and then reform limit indication for both the Department of Rural Development and the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. We have received an apology from the DG of the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, but maybe what we need to do is to get the Deputy Minister to introduce the delegation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and we appreciate your the valuable interaction between ourselves and yourselves. And we are accompanied by the acting chief financial officer. She will speak for herself. I would like her voice to be registered. And the head of our audit committee, and from corporate services as well. So they introduce themselves so that their voices are democratically registered.
Go ahead, Chief.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Irene Singo. I'm the acting CFO.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Corin de la Riviera. I'm the Chief Audit Executive. Corin de la Riviera.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Krista Brand, Director, IT Audit.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Pule Sekawana. I'm the Acting DDG Corporate Services.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Ismail Akawaya. I'm the Program Manager for the Management Performance Assessment at the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation.
Good morning, Chair. Henk Saffontein from the Department of Performance, M&E, in Management Performance Assessment.
Thank you very much. At this point, we'll get apologies from the committee secretary.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members, and good morning, colleagues. The apology that I have from the DG of the department and honorable Ntarane. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't want it to go unrecorded.
No, I think it is also important, I think, to record that the minister is in the cabinet committee, and this is why he's not here. He would have loved to have been here himself. I know that. Thanks.
Thank you very much. At this point, I think we have two items on the agenda.
Honourable Van der Linde has tendered his apologies. He's trying to enroll one of his children somewhere, and he'll be here as soon as possible.
Since what? Pastor?
No, he's trying to enroll one of his
children. I heard that part, yeah. And this is? Oh! I was shocked. I'm shocked. Yes, this is Pastor there. Well, okay, that's it. We have two items on the agenda. The minutes of the last meeting and the presentation from the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. We will start with the department so that they are not burdened with the details of the minutes of the committee. Thank you. Over to you, Chair.
Thanks again, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, honorable members. We'd like to just acknowledge our appreciation to be called to this meeting to present some of the work of GPME. Just to recap, we had presented a previous report to this committee in October last year on the state of management performance within the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. At that stage, we highlighted that we were presenting the results of a self-assessment. And I think the committee is one of the first committees who have called us to present the next round of performance assessments that were completed. Just to recap, the assessments we did on the 2012-2013 year was a self-assessment, but was subsequently put through external peer moderation. So what we will be taking the committee through is the results of that exercise. Just to recap around why we're doing this. And the premise is that improved management practice is key to improved service delivery. And that's why the focus on getting the basics right. It's the only way you convert inputs into outputs is through effective management and administration. So it goes to say that weak administration, if you look at financial management, supply chain, assets, human resource management, etc., etc., is a recurring theme across the clarities and is leading to poor service delivery. So we see numerous examples of this, whether it's delivery of textbooks, shortages of ARVs in hospitals, undermined small business development because of non-payment of suppliers within the prescribed 30 days, and appointment of unqualified people, in especially in municipalities. We also think it's important to develop a culture of continuous improvement and sharing of good practice. In the assessments we did last year and the ones we did during this financial year, we recognize that there is good practice. There are departments that are performing very well, and it's very important that we share their experiences with others. Lastly, we are in discussions with EPSA about linking the results of the performance of how an institution performs to how the head of that institution is assessed. And we think that's a very important initiative. The Cabinet has agreed that be done for the coming financial year. And we're working with EPSA to revise the policy for the coming financial year. So just a background to this, the AMPET implementation started in 2011-2012, after we got Cabinet approval to assess national and provincial departments. The tool developed was based on various international experiences that we looked at, and in all countries we researched, we found that the Office of the President and Premier in those countries drive a process of improving management practices. And it's done through competition and, very importantly, through sharing of good practice. In the first round of assessment we did, which was the 2011-2012 year, we had 103 out of 158 departments participating. The 2011-2012 self-assessments, it was agreed by Cabinet that they would be published. They are available on the DPME website. And that's the result we did present in October for the department in the committee. We think that it provided an important baseline, and we've interacted with many departments who have now, subsequent to that first assessment, implemented improvements as a result of the initial assessment. So we see some of that coming out in the second round assessment, but hopefully as we proceed, we can see a trend of continuous improvement. So for the assessment that we've just completed, the 2012-2013, we were quite encouraged that all 156 national and provincial departments participated in the assessment. And I think that's the first. We normally struggle to be compliant, but it was quite positive that we had all departments participating. Just to recap how we do this, we've identified 31 management standards, broadly covering 17 management areas. Each of the standards that we've developed is based on existing legislation and regulation. Primarily, we're looking at the Public Service Act and the Public Finance Management Act. There are other pieces of legislation as well. We have developed the standards collaboratively. We work very closely with colleagues in National Treasury, DPSA, the Public Service Commission. We've consulted with Auditor General, and we've interacted with all the offices of the Premier. This initiative is a joint initiative with the offices of the Premier. DPME takes the lead and facilitates the assessments at national level, but the Office of the Premier does a similar process with provincial departments. Just to highlight the phases and processes of the assessment, there are essentially three broad phases. There's a self-assessment and validation phase, there's an external moderation and feedback, and there's an improvement and monitoring phase. What we found to be the biggest value add of the tool has been the self-assessment process. It is a requirement that the accounting officer sits with the senior management of the department and systematically goes through each of the 31 standards and decides and agrees where the department is located. They are then subsequently required to make available evidence to back up their scores. Internal audit plays a very important role to certify the process the department has gone through has been correct, and that the evidence is real and exists. After the HOD signs is off, it's then submitted to external peer moderation. We recruit moderators, expert policy civil servants from other departments, national and provincial, and their essential job is to compare how departments assess themselves against the evidence. We then provide this feedback to the department, and in the case of rural development, they were the first department we have actually given this course to because of this impending meeting to this committee, and we have interaction with the department. That allows us to look at new evidence, to correct things that may have been missed, and to agree on a score. And in the case of this assessment, we've had a very positive interaction with the department, and we're quite encouraged by the understanding of the challenges they have and a willingness to improve on it. The last phase then is improvement and monitoring, which the department must develop an improvement plan, monitor the improvement plan, and prepare for the next round. So this is going to be an annual assessment. The time frames will be very clear. Departments know when the assessment is, and they will be given adequate time to collect and submit evidence to do the self-assessment. Just a little bit more moderation. As I mentioned, we only started assessment in 2011-2012, and we tested the moderation process in the first round. But the results that are on our website that were subsequently published is only the self-assessment results. We still think, however, it was a fairly frank and honest assessment many departments subjected themselves to. For the current financial year, we've conducted the peer moderation and of the self-assessment. Policy and implementing experts, I've mentioned, from national and provincial departments are our moderators. And departments were given an opportunity to comment on moderated course. We've been through that process with rural development. We're still in the process with all other departments. It is our plan that the moderated results for this round will be published in July after we go through a presentation to Cabinet. Now, just to get into the tool, we've agreed four levels, and we've color-coded them. Level 2 is actually orange, you can't really see it, and level 3 is more yellow. But level 1 means the department is non-compliant in that area of management. Level 2, we see partial compliance. There's some evidence that the department is moving toward a compliance level, but they're not yet there. Level 3 means the department is fully compliant with the legal precepts in that management area. We've added a level 4, which basically says full compliance is not enough. You must be fully compliant, but you must also do it smartly. And the difference between level 3 and 4 is that level 3 could mean malicious compliance. Just doing something because the AG wants it, or National Treasury, or the Public Service Commission are asking for that document. But we think it's very important, if we're going to achieve an effective and efficient public service, that all departments must get to level 4. Now, this is an example of how we've crafted the standards. So we've got 31 such standards, and I've handed out a separate document, which is titled Performance Area Standards 2012-2013. That has all 31 standards, which members can look at. This is just one of them I pulled out just for explaining how it works. So if we look at the definition, what we're trying to assess is the department's ability to monitor and evaluate, produce useful and reliable information, and use this performance information in performance and strategic management. So at level 1, a department does not have a monitoring and evaluation or performance management information policy or framework. At level 2, the department has a MIE or performance management information policy or framework, but the department does not have standardized mechanisms and or processes and procedures to collect, manage, and store data. So you can see at level 2, there's partial compliance. They have one, but they don't have the other. And level 3 is fully compliant. So the department has an MIE or performance management information policy or framework, and the department has standardized mechanisms and or processes and procedures to collect and manage and store data. So that's where we expect all departments to be at. Level 4 means you meet the level 3 standard and you conduct evaluations of a major program. It must either be conducted or in the process, or you must have planned to do it. And that's what we're trying to get, a good practice around M&E. You can see we've also got a list of evidence that is required. So if a department scores themselves anything above a level 1, they have to submit the evidence. And the moderators then look at the evidence and compare. Here's another example of accountability. Here we're looking at the audit committee, the functioning of the audit committee, and at level three, we would expect that the audit committee meets a schedule, that the audit committee has an audit charter with clearly defined objectives and key performance indicators. At level four, we want to see that the audit committee, in addition, reviews management's responses to audit issues and reports thereon, and assessment of the audit committee is done by stakeholders. So these two examples just give you a sense of how the standards are crafted, but just remember we've got all 31 standards in the separate handout. Now, we found both in last year's assessment and this year's assessment that in most management areas, there are some departments that are able to reach level four. So that tells us it's not impossible. Those departments work within the same legal, under the same legal constraints that all other departments work, and it's possible for all to reach level four. DCME has developed good practice case studies for the first round. We went back to those departments that taught level four, and we investigated a little bit more to see if it was real. And we asked, how did they do it? What was different? What was the key ingredients? What were some of the examples and tools they used? This is written up at case studies. There is a website that you can go into. It was an independent exercise done by universities in Holland. We got donor funding for it, and they wrote up some of the case studies together with Wits University. We've had workshops on these, and we are currently distributing it to other departments. We are in the process of writing up additional case studies, and the idea is to have a bank of great examples. So departments who are struggling in a particular area can learn from others. We don't need to pay for expensive consultants. The knowledge exists within the public service. Importantly, DPME, DPSA, National Treasury, who are the key custodians of these policy initiatives, are now providing support to departments to improve management practices. So we're trying to change the culture of just issuing the regulation and expecting people to comply. Policy departments need to see what else they can do to support departments to comply and improve performance. Now, the next cover slide reflects on the 2011-2012 assessment results. Now, just to recap, this was a self-assessment. It is unmoderated. And these scores were presented in the October meeting. So you can see in the area of strategic management, the department's own assessment sees that strategic planning, they're level 2, but for the annual performance plan, the program management, and monitoring and evaluation, they score themselves as 1. In 2011-2012. If you look at governance and accountability, on service delivery improvement planning processes, management structures, the departments scored themselves a level 1. For accountability, sorry, the yellows and oranges don't look too nice on the screen, but the 3 is actually a yellow and the 2 is an orange. So for accountability and an internal audit mechanism, the department self-assessment indicated that they were at the compliance level, but for the other standards, they were at level 2, which is below compliance. If we look at human resource management, there again, the retention strategy, the SMS performance management and development system, and the management of disciplinary cases were scored 1 by the department's own assessment. On financial management, picture looked slightly better, well, a lot better, in that only in acquisition management, the department said that they were below a compliance level. I think it was our analysis that rural development for that round did a very honest and frank assessment of themselves. And we recognize that doing that, departments should be acknowledged, that they are confronting the challenges and weaknesses, and that's the first step in order to improve it. Now, the next slide, I'll go through in a little bit more detail the results of the 2012-2013 assessment. And just to recap, a self-assessment was done, and it has subsequently been moderated. So this is a final score that has been discussed with the department, and this score will be put into the, will be released publicly when we publish the final results. So if we look at the area of strategic management here again, we can see that the department is performing fairly well. They are at a compliance level. With regards to strategic plans, the annual performance plans, and monitoring and evaluation. So the challenge to the department in this area would be to see how can we lift this to level 4. what do we need to do to improve this to level 4? If I look at the area of governance and accountability, the picture is a lot different. Other than the functioning of the audit committee, which the department has scored level 4, and we need to acknowledge, all other standards are below a compliance level. And maybe if I can just go into a little bit more detail. So if I can refer you to the standards document, and maybe we look at the SBIP, which is page 8. So we look at page 8. So on service delivery improvement, what we are assessing is that departments have an approved service delivery charter, standards, and service delivery improvement plans, and they adhere to these to improve services. This is a core piece of regulation flowing out of the Public Service Act, and it's an attempt to improve our service culture and our the extent of service delivery to our clients and citizens. At level 1, the department does not have a service charter and service standards, and that's where the department has been rated. What we have expected at level 3 is the department to have improved service charter, service standards, and a service delivery improvement plan. In addition, we wanted to see evidence that the department has consulted stakeholders, service recipients on the service standards and service delivery improvement plan. And in addition, the department must display the service charters. Now, all of those standards are the minimum requirements in the legislation. If we just turn over to page 9, at level 4, we would expect the department to monitor compliance to service delivery standards, that management must consider monitoring reports, and reports must be used to inform improvements to business processes. And that's what the department needs to get to. Just so I have a highlight on this standard, across all national departments, we found very low levels of compliance. So this is not unique to rural development. We are in discussions with DBSA that this either means they need to review their policy or they need support departments to implement it, provide additional support. But at least now we have data that is assessing the compliance level to national policies. On 2-1, which is management structures, the standard is on page 10 of this document. Here we're looking at the functionality of management structures, that the department has functioning and effective management structures. At level 1, the department's management structures do not have formal terms of reference and meetings do not take place. What we would have expected at level 3 is that the department had management structures with formal terms of reference, management meetings are scheduled and meetings take place. At level 4, we want to see management decisions are documented, clear, responsibility allocated and followed through, and senior management meetings agenda focus on strategic objectives and priorities of the departments as described in the strategic plan and APP. So that's where we need to get to. Audit seems okay. Department is doing very well. 201 on ethics. If we turn over to page 13 of the standards document, again here the department is called at level 1. Which means the department does not have a fraud prevention plan. At level 3, we would have expected the department has an approved fraud prevention plan that includes a policy statement and implementation plan. The department has an approved whistleblowing policy and implementation plan. The department provides feedback on anti-corruption hotline cases within 40 days. Now, just to mention that the department may be scoring a 1, but they may have elements of level 3 and level 4 which they're doing. But the way the standard works, the assessment works, is you must meet all the standards in level 3. So for example, on this one, if the department meets all its standards at level 3, but doesn't submit responses, feedback to the anti-corruption hotline within 40 days, they go to a level 2. So that means in the improvement plan, they need to fix up that to go to a level 3. Fraud prevention, internal audits also below compliance. 261, risk management. I think we acknowledge the department has done a lot of work on risk management, and it's not too difficult for them to get to a level 4 the next time around. But risk management at level 1 on page 15 of the standard document, the department has not conducted a risk assessment in the past year. At level 3, we're looking that the department has management committee risk management committee in place. The department has completed a risk assessment profile for the past year. The department has a risk assessment monitoring and management plan approved by the accounting officer and audit committee. Risk management committee regularly reports to the audit committee on implementation of the risk management plan. The department has reviewed the risk assessment monitoring and management plan, and the department updates the risk register based on new risk. So you can see there's quite a long shopping list of requirements at level 3, but we're quite encouraged by the work that the department has done in this area. On ICD, which is 281, this is a new standard. Another new standard, the assessment, the criteria was issued only after the assessments by CBSA. So across the board, we see departments, it would not be expected for them to comply. But obviously for the next cycle, we would hopefully try to monitor in more detail. 291, which is PACHA, the Administrative Justice Act, we've included that standard at a test. We haven't done a moderation on it. We will discuss with the Department of Justice on how to do moderation next cycle. But the department has done self-assessment on it and has rated themselves a level 1. If I move over now to human resource management, again, across all standards, the department has been rated below a compliance level. So you can see all level 2s. We concern is 321, which is on pay sheet certification, which is on page 26 of the report. So if we look at 26 of the standards report, here we were assessing departments have a process in place to manage pay sheet certification and quality control. At level 1, no process is in place to manage payroll monthly pay sheet certification. At level 3, we expected pay sheet certification processes to be in place. Pay sheet certification process is fully implemented on a monthly basis, and discrepancies are corrected in the system. Now, this whole initiative is to find ghost workers. So at level 4, we want to see there is a process of transferring and terminating staff in place to avoid fruitless expenditure, and analysis is performed on payroll certification to identify possible ghost workers and implement corrective measures if necessary. So you can see, if you, in many of these standards, you stop at level 3, you're not really getting the true improvements. You have to get to level 4. That's what it's about. Standard 324 on management of diversity. DPSA have acknowledged that in this area, the standard, the evidence required was not very clear. So across all departments, the standard wasn't assessed. So it's a bit unfair to signal the department out. However, within a new standard, we've also included the equity targets. But this is something we will work on with DPSA to improve. On 332, which is the Senior Management Service Performance Management and Development System, which I think is on page 30. If you look at page 30, yes. So here we look in the departments implement the SMS PMDS in terms of all SMS members within the requisite policy provisions. At level 1, where the department is rated, there's no performance agreement or current cycles are in place. Where we would expect at level 3 the department to be is that all SMS members have signed performance agreements and submitted by due date, or disciplinary action is taken for non-compliance. In addition, regular assessment and feedback sessions are performed throughout the year. Mid-year assessments and feedback sessions were performed in previous cycle. Annual assessments for previous cycle finalized by due date. Moderation concluded for previous cycle by due date. If we look at 342, which is management of disciplinary cases, again, if we look at page 32 of the standard supplement, the department is at level 1. Where would have expected the department to be at level 3 is that the department finalizes disciplinary cases within the policy requirements, and all disciplinary cases are captured on personnel. So you can see the department has some work to do in that area. In the area of financial management here, I think the picture looks a lot more better. So the department has achieved a compliance level across all the standards within financial management. and I think this should be acknowledged as quite an important improvement that the department has introduced. Maybe if I can just move to conclusions and recommendations regarding the 2012-2013 assessment. We note that the significant improvements in strategic and financial management are evident, and the department is at a compliance level. As I mentioned, the challenge is to now see how in those two performance areas we can get to level four. And that can be done by management being a little more proactive in acting on the data and information generated. Clearly, the priority should be about putting in place improvement plans to focus on governance and accountability and human resource management. And I think that to get to a compliance level should be the first goal. And what we hope to see as we do this annually is that there's incremental improvement. We don't expect departments to go from one level one to level four. It's sometimes unrealistic. But if the level one can be turned to level twos, the level twos can be put to level threes, and the level threes can be pushed to level fours, we are then comfortable that the department is moving in the right direction. DPME, as I mentioned, has provided feedback to the departments regarding their moderated scores, and we are aware of plans and improvements already in place that should impact positively on department's next assessment. We also want to acknowledge that we have used this department as our guinea pig. It's the first department that we actually provided feedback, and we're quite encouraged as an interaction with the department. Just a few more slides, the value add of this process. MPAC provides a single holistic picture of the state of a department. Generally, audits focus on compliance only, whereas MPAC focuses on getting managers to work more smartly. And I think we need to continuously be aware, level four is non-negotiable. MPAC also covers a broader range of management areas than audits cover. And getting all departments to level four will improve the quality of service delivery. For example, getting departments to procure smartly would result in better service delivery by suppliers and contractors, and savings from reducing corruption and increasing value for money. So in that you can see a very direct link between improved management practice and service delivery. The process, again, of getting top management as a whole to assess itself against a set of good practice management standards and to agree on required improvements is the main value add. This is very different to an AG coming and telling you what's wrong, or to the Public Service Commission coming and telling you what's wrong. This is management owning up to their weaknesses and challenges. Management practices across departments are generally weak because top management has not paid sufficient attention to improving them. By carrying out these annual assessments, the Presidency and the offices of the Premier are sending out a clear message that improving administration is a priority of government. And unless we fix those basics, we always could be struggling with service delivery. Just a slide on the limitation of this process. MPAC focuses on processes related to converting inputs into outputs. It does not focus on assessing whether the right outputs are being produced to achieve the desired outcomes and impact. So there is a danger or risk that departments may score very well on impact, but that may mean that they are just doing the wrong things very efficiently. So in viewing the overall performance of a department, it's also important to consider the achievements of outcomes and impact. And in this regard, DPME is doing this through its quarterly reporting on the priority outcomes related to the delivery agreement. The department's performance against targets for outcomes and impact indicators are included in their strategic plans and APPs, and this is reported in their annual reports, and this should also be used. So that's just a caution. Chair, maybe at that stage, that's the end of the presentation. Maybe just to highlight the other two sheets we've handed out, look like this. So the one is a report card of the 2011-2012 financial year. So it's a summary. Now just if you look at the heading, that's the self-assessment scores of 2011-2012. The second sheet is titled Final Moderated Results of 2012-2013. And these are the scores that were moderated and were discussed with the department. So this will basically serve, will be the one we published for this round of assessments. Chair, maybe with that we thank you and we open for questions.
Thank you very much, DM. Do you have any? Honourable members, there is an opportunity open to us to interact with the report. Fortunately, we are having a second part on this presentation. It was done last October. We're getting a second chance now with improvements due to moderation.
Ndibulele nanye bayinkulu kangaka endifumanayo uba ndijule owamumbuzo. Thank you to for the presentation we've received. I would like to just gain an understanding in terms of two issues. First being fraud prevention. The department is sitting at two currently. What systems are in place that can ensure that we are able to move from a 2 to a 3 and perhaps a 4? I pose this question because mainly we have seen many problems as far as fraud is concerned. We were on oversight in Bloemfontein where a tractor seemingly mysteriously disappeared from the department at the provincial level, never reached the beneficiary. Until today, we don't know whatever happened to that track. So I'm concerned as to what are the prevention mechanisms that the department has in place in ensuring that they curb fraud within the department. And we also loosely, when we speak about fraud, it often ends with a dismissal. What actions are taken to ensure that there are penalties and people are really taken to task as far as fraud is concerned. And the second question, Chair, is posed at the management of disciplinary cases. We are sitting at one, and I'd like to get an understanding from the assessment on how can the department be assisted in bettering that. I think we need to be seeing disciplinary cases handled more assertively in ensuring that at least we are sitting at the 3, if not 4. So what disciplinary cases have they had in the past period during assessment? How have they looked at the mechanism of rectifying how the department deals with its own disciplinary cases? Thank you, Chair.
Ndibawela zithethe zonke iingozi ngoba kuthethwa ngencimbi obalulekileyo we-performance yedipartment le singahliswa sinyuswa by idipartment ngaperformiyo sezidelivery ngayindawo. Ndizawuqala ke ngabo bephakafile ezinkosi ndibuye kuni kodwa zawuthetha sonke namhlanje iza ke izafakho.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I'm encouraged that the department will prepare to be the guinea pig and that there's been good cooperation, because that means, as you said at the end, that this is not an auditor general report, it's a report where managers own up to their failings. So I think if the Deputy Minister can take anything out of this, is that it's encouraging that the department wants to evaluate itself and to have itself evaluated. Chair, just a question before I go into some of the comments about the report. I find that today's interaction especially interesting after yesterday's interaction with SCOPA, where we went and listened to SCOPA questioning the Department on performance. So we got two objective assessments, one by SCOPA and one by Auditor General / SCOPA and one by your monitoring and evaluation. My first question on integration of monitoring and evaluation in performance and strategic management. At level 3, you say at least one evaluation of a major program should be conducted or in the process of being conducted or planned. Now, I don't understand that, because the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You can't give somebody a 4 for planning to do assessment, because they might never do it. So I'd like some clarity on that. Chair, I understand that that's the first time the department did a self-assessment. You know, they might have been too critical or they might not have been critical enough. On report around strategic management, we see that the scores were very low around project management, monitoring and evaluation, and a few others. And yesterday's performance in Scopa indicated that we were really weaker on strategic management in the department. So it's interesting that the scores were low there. I'm referring to the 2011-2012 strategic management assessment where there were 3 1s and 1 2. Only strategic planning got a 2. But then there, I want to have a look at making some comparisons. If you compare the 2011-2012 human resource management, where there are quite a few 3s, I'd like you to look at 2012. Where management of diversity, for example, got a 3 in 2011. And in 2012, management of diversity got a 1. Now, that's a big, big difference. And we need to have some comment about that, please. The issue that concerns me the most, Chair, is on governance and accountability, that graph or bar chart that you gave us, where service delivery and performance was at a 1, because this is where the rubber hits the road in any department. You can have any policies and anything you like in a department, but if your service delivery indicator is a 1, then you are failing, you're letting down governments, you're not implementing the policies of government, and it represents failure. And we need to talk about how this is going to be improved. And once again, in the Scopa meeting yesterday, service delivery performance was pitiful in this department. And we'll have to do some reflection about how we're going to improve that. And then my last comment, I found it interesting, Chair, in 2011-2012, that the HOD PMDS score was 3, yet in 2012-2013 it's 2. And what worries me even more is that that's come down and that the SMS PMDS is reflected at 1. Now, the one thing that can really happen through example with SMS PMDS is that if the senior management, the HOD, has got a performance contract, then the others will have. But if there's a problem with the HOD's performance contract, then it's unlikely that your SMS are going to have performance contracts. And I'd like to know why it's gone backwards. I know the first one is a self-assessment. The second one is a moderated assessment. But the department must take note that their self-assessment was high, it was 3 for the HOD PMDS, but in this moderated assessment, it's 2. And that reflects poorly on the HOD and the rest of the SMS. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join my colleagues for appreciating the presentation. I think the presentation has made some highlights on the performance of the department in various sectors or in various units. When looking at the presentation, there are instances whereby the department has underscored itself, but when looking at the moderated results, you know, they are performing well. I understand that after this report, the department will develop the improvement plan on how we could deal with the weaknesses that have been highlighted in this report. But what I wanted to find out is that are the state entities part of this performance assessment process? And also, after doing the external moderation, you present the report to the department for consideration and also for fair processing by developing an improvement plan. Then where do you intervene? Where do you provide your support? And also, how do you, as DPME, how do you relate with other institutions which are doing the assessment, although we are not duplicating the activities, but how do you relate to the Auditor's General Office and also to the Public Service Commission? I think on other weaknesses, That one, I think, will engage with the department when they present the improvement plan, and also the committee will be able to oversight whether they are implementing the plan so that they improve the course for the next financial year.
Chair, thank you. Mine will be focusing on finding out what measures are in place to make sure that the departments the departments do not fall into a position of spending on something not relevant to each mandate. If I may make an example of areas where you could find that the department is supposed to say look into it, make sure that a proper structure is built for the benefit of the community. Where you could find that not the community has been made to benefit. A small structure has been built for the community to benefit, but an individual is getting a better structure for him and his family. If I may make an example as well, as Inkos Mandela has pointed out, the issue of the tractor that got lost or stolen. We in the same province, Free State, where we found that there was a big house built for an individual, and next to that big house, a very small clinic for the community. Please. Thank you.
Is Prince.
Yeah, mine is service delivery improved. But it's still on level one. But it has been improved. I don't know what the meaning, because when you go outside to look at delivery, only to find that the department are working in silos. Let's say rural development want to deliver in agriculture, and agriculture is doing its own thing. But you follow that, you want to find out what has been done as a deliverance to the people. Only find that it's nothing. I think this is right, but what measures can we improve this, because we find that in audit department is doing very well. It's not like in the Bible when you are giving a child, just hide it and then keep it safe until my boss comes back and then produce it as it is. Thank you.
Came on time for your question. Thank you, DJ. All right.
Thank you, Jefferson. The report is good. One is glad to receive such a report. But I'm just struggling here. I want to put this question. I'm going from here. Departments or officials are very much creative. Very, very much creative. Are there some of the things that are put in place to say that they know that this time this was done like this way? Nay. So next time they will think of something creatively to do it their way. Are there some of the things that are put there so that the creativity is the problem? That's why we are where we are now. It's the creativity. That's my only worry. It's good to assess myself. Next time I say again, say at one. because I do not want to be found out that I'm using creative manners. Thank you.
I won't be creative, Chair. I just want to understand from the department that I was raising a farm in Howe, bought by our department, and that farm loves no one who do the monitoring and evaluation behind of those people that they have given money to product that farm. That farm was voted already, and the department gave the, I don't know, they call it grant or stipend to the people to product that farm, but it was not productively. And I raised this issue from last of last year until even last year I raised it, but I didn't get some feedback that how far about that farm, because when I was here through the people that are staying there, they said that farm, when it can include leaders in that, implicated leaders in that place, but they got that stipend or grant, and they bought them the big cars with the villa at the back, without protecting that land that they have given by the department. I want to understand that feedback. What happened in that farm show? Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on the self-assessment and the final moderation page. On human resources practices and administration, the department has rated itself and given itself one. And I want to understand, due to the vacancy rate that exists in the department, is there any way that we can afford to have a situation where we are rating, it is rated at one? The other issue is on functionality of management structures. It's one, and the moderated results is also one. And I want to understand, because the management structures are the ones that are supposed to lead the department in implementing service delivery. Is there anything that can be done to ensure that this management structures are functional, so that we get to a situation where we deliver correctly to our people? Thank you.
Now everybody has asked the question. I think
we would like to follow what the presidency says, and then we'll just respond to both as a way of failure.
Thank you.
Thanks. I think some of the questions we wouldn't be able to answer, so I'm going to leave them to the department around what they're doing. I think some of them around system and the process I can deal with. I think, yes, we are encouraged that this department has taken the initiative and their approach, so that comment is noted. With regards to the question around how can we rate planned evaluation at the level 4, we're mindful that the evaluation strategy of government was only approved by Cabinet last year. And at this stage, this tool is also going to improve as we move along. So we're looking at continuous improvement of the tool as well. What we are saying is that at this stage, level 4 is quite a stretch for most departments. Once majority of departments are hitting level 4, we then need to increase what level 4 is. So I suppose in the next round, or maybe next year or the year after, we'll drop the land one. And that would not have to be, you have to show evidence of doing evaluations. But I think we don't want to put the bar too high, because then it would discourage departments that they would never get there. So we'll incrementally shift the bar as we go on. With regards to the strategic plan and score around how that differs from what the JG's finding is in the self-assessment, the moderation is quite confident that in this area the department has done significant work. And the difference in scoring is, in our view, related to timing. The AG looks back and looks at how things were in the past. The advantage of this tool is current. When you're doing it, you're doing it for the year. So when it was done in October 2012, that was the current status. So hopefully the improvements in that area will reflect in the next AG's report. So it's a bit of an early warning signal around what you can expect with the AG. We've been reluctant to compare 2011-2012 results with 2012-2013 for a number of reasons. One was a self-assessment and one was a moderated score. In addition, the standards changed slightly. So if we look at diversity in particular, we've now added stuff that wasn't in the standard 2011-2012. So in some of the standards, it's very difficult to make a comparison, because we may have increased the bar or we may have added things that makes it difficult to compare. So I think particularly in the HRM, I mean, my colleague can comment as well, but definitely in the diversity one, the equity targets were not there in the previous cycle. We've now included them, so it's an additional thing that departments need to do. The service delivery improvement plan, as I mentioned, we recognize this, that it's a problem across most departments, more than when we did the assessment last year. We don't have the final figures of this year, but more than close to 70% of departments were non-compliant with service delivery improvement planning. And this is an issue we've taken up with DPSA, that, you know, more needs to be done to support departments, or we need to review whether the regulations or requirements are appropriate. Some departments have argued with us that they don't deal with end clients, that they serve a department working with other government departments. And we said, but, you know, don't argue with us. The policy says you have to have a service delivery improvement plan. So this is a discussion we must have with DPSA, and they need to clarify what a service delivery improvement plan looks like for a policy department that's not dealing with end clients. The performance management of SMS, maybe we can leave the department to respond to that. The SOEs, at this stage, we're only doing the assessment on national and provincial departments. DPME are rolling out a process to do a similar assessment on municipalities. But we haven't looked at SOEs. It's something that we will consider and see how we can extend. I think the difference with SOEs is that the same regulatory requirements do not apply. The Public Finance Management Act and the Public Service Act in all cases. It's a little bit of a different one. How do we support departments? I think the case studies for us is very important initially. We want to say, this is where it works. This is a department at level 4. This is how they did it. This is the example. This is the template. Talk to them. So our job is about writing up the case studies and then connecting weak performing departments with strong performing departments and getting them to learn from each other. But also to get the policy departments to make them more aware and responsive. So unintended consequence of this assessment is that we assess the policy. So where there's large areas of non-compliance, we can take that information back to Treasury, back to DPSA, and say, look, you have to address this. The policy is not having the intended requirements. So it will be a continuous engagement with DPSA and Treasury. Whether the department's expenditure is correct and related to its mandate, I think that might fit into the limitations of this model, that we're only assessing the efficiency of doing it. We don't know whether you're doing the right thing. But we do have a standard on expenditure management, which is the last one on your back. And then we're looking at things like, do you have processes in place to detect unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure? Are you addressing audit findings with regards to unauthorized irregular expenditure, etc.? So in some instances, we will pick that up. Again, it's probably the work of Parliament as an oversight body to highlight those things as well. I mean, we're not the only institution that's looking at it. And we think that we're not duplicating what DAG does, what Parliament does, but it's look at monitoring from different angles, and it allows you to triangulate, is the term that they use in monitoring and evaluation, looking at the problem from different sides. And so we might see a set of problems, but Parliament in its work may see a different set of problems that it will raise with the department. Any other ones? So I'll just see if Hank, if I've covered anything, or is there anything you want to add?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. Maybe just one or two other things. Also, in the support for departments to help improving, I think through the constant monitoring, you know, I think something like the disciplinary cases, the requirement is there that they be finalized within 60 days and all of that. And I think we have found that departments are not meeting that. And then, you know, I know DPSA are putting in place processes and structures and capacity to assist departments with investigators and all those type of people to actually improve their functioning. And so I think there's lots of other initiatives by the policy departments themselves to improve delivery or performance in those areas. And I think the one question was also, how do we relate to the Public Service Commission and the Auditor General? And we're using them in what we call secondary data. So we will be getting, we do get the Auditor General report, the Public Service Commission reports, and those. And mostly that's used in moderation. So we, our moderators will reflect on what is the information coming out of those oversight bodies. And I think Ismail did also touch and saying we use them in developing these tools and refining the tools and trying to get some synergies in those. And I think the Honourable Member talked about creativity and how that. I think we should all acknowledge that the less systems and processes are in place, probably the more scope there is for me to be creative and get away with lots of things. So I think what we're pushing from our side is saying that the minimum processes and procedures needs to be in place for us to detect and hopefully avoid all these fraud things and those things. I think on the one on vacancy rates and those, I think you would see the standard that deals with organizational structures. I think it's 3.3. Probably the third one, 312 on page 24. That one does look, and the department scored 2 on that one. So it seems there's a proof structure, but it's not implemented as well as they might. There's probably a case around that some of the structure are not fully funded. So there's positions that are not funded, they're sitting on the structure, and therefore they will remain vacant and not be able to fall. So I think those are would probably be additional ones. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jefferson. We engaged a lot with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, and we developed an action plan on the areas that needs to improve, and we'll be able to give that to the committee next week. I just want to ask our head of internal audit to also comment.
Thank you, Travis. We found from an audit perspective and government perspective this exercise very useful in the department, and the criteria that we can see we need to meet to get to advance to level 4. And the cooperation that we have and working relationship with DPME is a very positive relationship that improves the process as well as the department's performance. In developing this tool, I think the main challenge for departments is because the tool continuously is improved, the criteria change. And you sometimes achieve a level 4 and the next evaluation you're back to a level 2 because of additional criteria added. But that is also a way to make sure that we keep moving our standard up so that a level 4 will be excellent at the end of the day.
We have two specific areas that we collectively are worried about, and yeah. I think the minister has admitted to this point as well. from the audit point of view, and the second one relates to consequences for fraud and misdemeanors in the department. And we have not heard Mr. Skawana. The annual report, yeah, indicates that as of the 31st of March, there were 32 cases in the department. Now, more you don't deal hard on corruption and fraud and trade, the more space for creativity. In my previous life, when your pay sheet is not followed up regularly, there's a gap there where you can have ghosts in the system. We discovered that there were employees paid by the Department of Education in the UK whose bank accounts were in Bloomsbury. They are working in Bishop. That's how ghosts can manifest themselves. Now, clearly, Chief of the Systems not being in place, no action on fraud and corruption is creating that possibility. I'm in your hands, Chief.
Okay. But can you do just this work?
Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, of course, piggybacking on the discussions yesterday out of SCOPA, part of the report that we will be presenting in the next week to SCOPA, which our feeling in the department is that the same report must come here. We will deal with the 32 cases of disciplinary cases in terms of the age analysis. But just to give you a sense, from 2011-12 financial year to date, we've already have about 17 dismissals in the department. And this information will be contained as part of the 32 cases that are reported in that report. Just on the part of ghost employees, actually part of the HR plan for next year is to conduct a ghost employee search. And we are putting a plan together to do what we call check collection at a point next year. It's going to be a very comprehensive process, which will include a number of players, including internal audit, salary division, and so forth and so on. The DG has insisted on this, so we hope next year we will do this check collection by all our employees at the station.
Thank you. Listen, let me I'd like to start with a Mem Novel and her comment about creativity. And what I'm going to suggest is that let's simply assume good intention until proved otherwise. In other words, until evidence emerges that they have been creative here. But until they produce that evidence, let us not be judged by experiences elsewhere. But I also want to appreciate the fact that the department is a guinea pig for developing a system for working together with the presidency to ensure that we meet the requirements for fulfilling the mandate of government, as explained in our mandate. So that in doing so, we are able to agree on a system that puts into record by agreement by ourselves and the presidency what work is happening on the ground. And the point that our head of audit is making is that, and I think the DME itself acknowledges it, for example, using diversity as an example, it also exists in accounting. Globally, that they introduce new standards, and every time that happens, it means those who performed otherwise well are now no longer performing well because of the new standard. So we have to agree on the currency of the assessment, and the point at which the new criteria that is introduced will now be part of the assessment, so that it is not used to rate current work. So that will be very helpful in working with the system.
Ma'am, please, I want to draw your attention to exactly that point.
Yes, yes.
If you look at the 2011-2012,
yes.
Page 16,
yes.
And then you look at this one,
yes.
2012-13,
yes.
Which means this one was written first.
Yes.
This one is current.
Yes.
So it's not, this one is not looking backwards, it's looking now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, if you read page 16, that one line, a risk management strategy was developed. The risk management committee was established,
yes,
and is now functional.
Yes.
Now, this document says one,
yes,
rated one.
Yes.
Now, what is then the relationship between the two? They have not moved the
let's respond to you. Can we just respond to that? She's the institutional memory of the department. People have come and gone, she's been around, so she's able to respond to you now. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Yeah.
I think DPME has helped us to, yes, has helped us to explain the difference between the audit, the annual report, and what they are doing. In their assessment, they've got specific evidence documents. Level 1, if you go to our level 1, the risk strategy is there, it's functionally set. But on that specific one, on the risk management side, they wanted a finalized risk profile of the department. It's the evidence that we need. We are busy with the risk profile of the indicating, which is targeted to be finalized by the end of the month, at 92%. Of that risk profile. So the fact that we don't have that already finished and signed off gives us it. So there are evidence, information that are specific that DPME wanted us to have. Hence, you will see the difference between that statement and what they are rating. The documents that are indicated on the annual report, they are there and they satisfy themselves that they are there. But there's another standard on top of it that they wanted.
Let me, yeah. Okay, go ahead then. Go ahead.
I think in this area, I think the standard that we've developed is particularly harsh. Because if you look on page 15, there's a whole shopping list of things the department must achieve to be at level 3. And the way the tool works and the response we got now, that just because the risk profile, which they haven't completed, they can't be rated at level 2, so they default to 1. But I mentioned this area is probably the area that they can do a big win. By just fixing that, it can be 3 or 4 in a matter of weeks. So that area, you know, it's a quick win. With a little bit of effort, you can move that from level 1 to level 4.
That's a little bit cheap. Please.
Okay.
If you were to audit what they are talking about, audit, what would you look for? What would you look for?
If we audit risk management, we would look at requirements from National Treasury, as they say, for effective risk management function in the department. And which will not necessarily include a specific profile, but more high risks of the department that is reflected for risk register. So our risk management from audit perspective is not at a level 4 yet, but we think they are close, they're definitely a level 2 and they're close to a level 3. So the risk profile would not make us disqualify
this. Please. I was not asking for your assessment. We'll come to that. I was just looking at what would you look for. Say this committee visits the office, and when they get there, in order not to appear to be rude or even petty, they should be asking the right questions in order to get the right answers. What would they be looking for?
They would be looking for an effective risk management unit established in the department that is operational in performing risk assessments and monitoring the implementation of action plans to address the risks in the department, and they would also be looking for an oversight body, the Risk Management Committee, which will govern this function and ensure that it functions on standard. It is there, yes.
And they need to know if you are able to prevent them in the management saying, why is it possible that those
houses and so on are happening? Why? If you say they are there.
Jefferson, I think that this function has been established but maybe not functioning long enough to make sure that all the action plans on the risks that's identified is effectively implemented. So it exists, but only in a year or two time you will see that they could manage that the actions is implemented and all the risks are addressed.
For you, dear, if I'm able to go to your DIF office and change somebody's title deed and put another name on it, and go and raise money on that title deed. Is that risk proof, as indicated by the lady?
She didn't say risk proof. Those are your words, Chairperson. As she said, is it there? Yes. Does it operate? Yes. And she says the effect of its existence and operation will begin to bear fruit. It's not risk proof. It is imagine. And perhaps this is what I wanted to make it happen before you ask your question, Chairperson. But in what we're discussing here, the portfolio of evidence that is required to score us is an important one that we should pay attention to, because it is those differences that will tell us to ask a manual member's question, is this a trick? Is this a fabrication? They are saying moderation means no. We must get evidence from a variety of sources that will tell us whether this strategy exists, whether it is functional or it is operational at all. Without that evidence, that portfolio evidence, we will score it this way. So that's what it means. Does it guarantee foolproof? No, sir. It doesn't mean that. I just want to make the other point. Part of the what has already been suggested is that because of this interaction, there's a requirement for us to respond to this moderated scoring to say, what are we doing about this thing? The internal audit has already produced from there as a unit ideas that they think needs to be done by management. So that's the report that she was saying you will be able to get next week after finalization with management. So that on the following areas, this is what we're going to be doing to achieve the objectives as picked up by the moderated criteria in the staff. Just another, just to say that Honorable Mam Kize, please give us that information so that we follow it up, so that we go and handle it. It's not proper that this thing was done before and so on. Give us details now. We'll follow it up so that we get back to you. We'll talk to people today in the district so that they can follow it up. They give us immediate information so that we will get concrete with this. It's very bad that we raised it last year and you still haven't got the response. I think that's a bad way to do that. Some of the performance evaluation are exactly this type of thing that we're talking to make this living and dynamic process rather than a paper-based box-ticking things. It can't be that, so it must be living. Give us that information so that we respond it. I also just want to say that part of the issues that have been raised here about the reporting requirements, I think as the process evolves, we will find, as it has already been stated, areas where there are places. The policy says this, but the reality is quite different, so that we must have those to correct and revise the work that we are doing. We appreciate the comment that this exercise helps us to be on our toes and to correct where we think we are not working well, but it helps us to improve the nature of accountability and reporting that we require to do. And we hope that the frankness of the self-scoring is very helpful for that reason. Because if people are not frank in their assessment,
both internally, we've got a monitoring and evaluation unit that goes around checking in addition to the audit committee. Whether what is we are told is not fiction, and that people can vouch for its existence in reality. We are hoping that those things, as we, the work that is happening evolves, will produce better quality results. I just thought I should raise those few questions, points, Chairperson. And I appreciate this accountability space. It helps us to see where there are blind spots as well. So thank you very much for pointing those out whenever they arise. Thank you.
Across the table. Johannes,
You don't recall this?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
The gentleman
the resolution is that they must come and present, but if I can go ahead.
In the airport, they say there's no resolution from Scopa. Scopa was like hot under the collar for that. So she repeats that today, says there's no resolution. You know, you see, the Scopa has picked up, like we did ourselves, that there were service providers that were hired by the department, given particular terms of reference to perform certain functions. And those service providers didn't deliver as was expected. Now, it emerged that it may have been that the terms of reference were not clear enough. Secondly, that there was no internal monitoring inside the department to make sure that those service providers produced what was required. But the third one, which is the damning one, that the department itself was so weak to a point where they did not know what they wanted. They were spending an item in the budget only. Because in this one instance, the company that was hired was more expensive than another one, which was charging 500 rand an hour. PwC was charging 580 rand an hour. They hired that one. So when the tire hit the tar, that one expensive consultant indicated that he wanted to hire more people because of the scope of the work. So they hired more people from his own firm, and he interviewed them himself. There was no time frame by when they should finish the project. They spent more than what they budgeted for. They extended the contract several times, I think 3 times. They budgeted 1.5, they ended up paying 5.8 million. Now this is one example that Scopa is now asking the department, bring that consultant to us. We want to be there because we were there yesterday to hear this. It's not only that one, it's just one example. There are others. There's one that is current now in the department where PwC with a consortium is doing some work. I think it's around computers, ma'am. What is this one? The PwC with a consortium.
It was the internal audit. What Scopa had requested is the cost that they are paying for internal audit. They wanted to know, firstly, what was the name of the company that is doing internal audit, and I said it's a consortium between PwC and other small firms, and they wanted to know the amount. That's the information that I know.
No. If you remember Honorable Emsley, remember Honorable Emsley? And the other gentleman, I'm not sure, is Dr. George. Said this is the people's money, and the company that got this money must account. Why would they take the money and not deliver the product? Am I mixing two examples?
Yes, Chairperson. I think you are mixing two examples. Normally, Scopa, after this kind of meeting, they send us a list of the things that they want us to provide. And from the meeting yesterday, I gathered that the way things that we need to provide, like your consequences for irregular protests and wasteful expenditure, the cases, how far they are, and that. That's what we need to provide. Yes, members raise concerns about different issues around the first one was the, there were seven projects. The first one was the skills audit and the re-engineering that was done between PwC and the other consortium. And the second one was about the outsourcing of the human resource recruitment. Then there was another one for projects. No, re-engineering is the first one. The second one is the outsourcing of the recruitment in terms of respondent link and this and that. Then there was one for the project management office. The 580 versus 500 that they're talking about. It was about an IT project for project management office. Then there were three other IT-related issues. So PwC is PwC with the current internal audit that we are doing. They wanted to know how much we are spending on internal audit if, and audit committee if we are not recommending their actions. So that's the context of PwC. Then on the other one, where they did the human resource re-engineering, it was more about those extension of contracts and the fact that we didn't do proper cost-benefit analysis. So there were discussions around it that we tried to answer. So from there, there were specific things that the chairperson requested that we provide as a follow-up information because we didn't have it immediately. And that's the one that we'll be providing to COPA in the next week or two.
Which one did something and abandoned it, yet they were paid?
There was one of the projects which is a state-led data system where we said we were developing a system that was supposed to be compatible to our financial system. And at some point when we realized that the changes that needed to be done, the cost was exceeding the benefit that we needed to gather from it, we decided to not to continue. But it's not like they've done the work. You see, yesterday we didn't find the time to engage. Maybe if Chairperson wants to engage on that report. Remember, the last time the Auditor General presented the report to Chairperson here. But we have never received an opportunity as a department to come and engage you on it. You have only heard us at COPA, and the questioning was different. I didn't get this opportunity to engage in detail with you like we are doing.
Yes. That we'll find an opportunity for all of us to do. I think we need set the time to do that so that we can go through that same report and deal with those matters, because Scopa invited us so that we can hear and then make a follow up on this thing. Auditor General also did come to us and they said we must follow this up. We want to do so, but for today, it is an important matter between ourselves and internal audit through your office and GM's office. Our purpose is to make sure that these things that have been found out by the Auditor General are corrected. That's our only responsibility. Correct them. And this is going to be an important one, that we postpone the meeting between us and yourselves. We want the team to come back in a month's time, 1 month. Come back in April with all the improvement plans in place, steps to be taken, because we do not want to deal with APP again with these things hanging over your heads. Chief, we can't. Your APP may be meaningless if these things are still hanging over your head. Not going to be right at all. So we have to deal with all those matters in a month's time. Unless you think that, no, we are more than ready. We a month is too far. Then maybe you could suggest time closer than a month. Because we were talking with the Secretary here that the APP and the strategic plan may be submitted in a month's time. We want to make sure that by the time they are submitted, these matters are dealt with already. Because after the submission, we will be chasing the APP and the strategic plan and not these matters. But we want to make sure that by the time APP hits the ground, these matters are dealt with. Can you come back to me? Does the internal audit produce its own independent reports, or do they include the contribution in your report?
Yes, they produce their own independent report that gets presented to our audit committee for implementation of management evidence.
We want that independent report together with yours next week.
Okay, maybe they the CIE can also comment. You mean on these certifications we are discussing yesterday?
All those that are remember,
okay.
You see, I don't know whether I'm not old enough to forget that much. The basis of all these things come from your report and the Auditor General's report.
I agree, Chairperson. You see, with the internal audit, I just want to make sure that I understand what needs to be done by internal audit. The internal audit has got an internal audit blank with lot of audit areas and activities. And in those specific audit areas, then they, when they are done, present it to the audit committee. So their focus is more on improvement of internal controls and processes, whereas their AG focus is more on external audit. So some of the financial statements. So some of the things that are there, internal audit would have raised it already. But those reports have been made available, but there is a lot of them. But we can identify those that are more related to the areas that have been raised today.
No, we do not want a tailor-made report. We want, because now they know which areas Auditor General and the scope are concerned about in terms of your systems. They do know. And like you say, they may have raised them with you already. That's all we want. We do not want them to create a new report for us, not a tailor-made one.
Chairperson, I think let's go that route. And in fact, the minister yesterday convened a meeting to discuss what happened in Scopa and so on. So part of the response will be to take what you have said here, incorporate it in the responses that you will get in the time frame that you are suggesting. The annual performance. Thank you. This acronym is a headache. Yeah, they are headache. You remember someone didn't know what the hell something meant. It's due for submission on the 14th of March. But when you, the decision, when you discuss it, it's still yours to meet whatever other deadlines are there. So I would assume that the time frames you give us, the flexibility will come from you, depending on your agenda. Not shifting from the agreement early on to the 1 month you suggested. So if the boss agrees with us, then
Ms. Singo did say that the internal audit team has submitted all those. They will be there by the time we get to the 14th of March. But I was trying to be reasonable in terms of how they themselves respond to the issues raised by the Auditor General and SCOPA and us on your annual report. That is why I was saying a month. But we can discuss outside. Like my boss says 23 March. 27 March. It's 27. In fact, it's 6. We're giving you 21 days. That's 3 weeks. Right. 1 day. 1 day is more than reasonable. No, it's before we go. Last week of the session.
No.
Girls, who misses? Who flew to the girls? I believe no cool with the
Oh, okay. I can see Chairman is struggling with my surname. Sekawana. Yeah. I'll introduce myself until you get it. No, Chairman was.
Don't worry, Kawana is going to be easy.
Yeah,
we struggled with Ogunrumbi for a long time. We prepared to call him Sunday, because exactly. Ogunrumbi is a breaker.
Yeah, indeed. No, this is, of course, I didn't concur this with IDM, but I'm trying to check the two processes that we're dealing with here. The the 14th of March is the date that Parliament expects APPs from Department. So I thought that process will go on. But then the engagement was on the 27th, on the things that are required from the annual report, will still continue whilst you will be considering both what's in the APP alongside how we have responded and see how those would have affected the APP. And it's like we're at a point where we almost have finalized our APP ready for submission by the 13th. So I was trying to suggest that maybe we don't necessarily mess up the date of the 13th for submission of the APP. Because majority of these issues that are raised here, Chairperson, are more operational issues that affect performance. APP is more strategic issues that we focus on for the next year. So we could still be doing the two parallel without necessarily delaying the submission of the APP.
We never suggested delay anything. In fact, you were complaining that we're shortening the period. We gave you a month, and then we said, okay, 3 weeks. So there's nothing delayed there. DM?
Oh, you're right, Chairperson. I was going to say that that's exactly what we said. The agenda of Parliament can't be tampered with, and we will comply with it. And the agenda for when we discuss this matter is as you suggested. Let's stay with that. No conflict here.
DM, just curiosity, Jim. When we were discussing SPLAC, one of the clauses there was that this deal must be read together with the act that is meant to implement the Administration of Justice Act. In this report we're getting from this gentleman, it looks like you do not have a system in-house for the implementation of that AGA.
No, they qualified their comments around it, that the new areas they haven't done much well. In fact, I...
Please. I'm moving from what you said in the bill. I'm not moving from what they say. You're still working towards incorporating PHA in your work, not because of their requirement, but because of the bill you submitted here in Parliament, which has been passed by the House.
Our compliance with, what is it called, PAJA?
Yeah, to do so, you must have the systems to do so. And you said in that bill, as soon as that act is implemented, is passed, you will incorporate its operations within that context of PAJA. So there was no PME requirement. It was your own requirement.
Sorry, I don't understand your question, Chairperson. Please help me understand you. Let me just restate what you said. In SPLAM, we said that it must be read with PAJA.
Both their implementation require that you treat citizens in the areas of municipalities in a particular way, and therefore this deal we were processing will be implemented in line with and together with PAJA. So I was curious to say whether you have those systems of PAJA, which you are going to incorporate SPLAM on, or you will create systems simultaneously of PAJA and SPLAM. Because this one is merely reminding us of what we were debating. Not because of the requirement, but because you said it will be dealt with.
Yeah. The point I was going to make earlier on was that we have to fulfill the requirements of PAJA. So each of the branches must submit information and so on, so that system is in place in the department. So I'm saying that I'm aware that thing has been done. I don't remember whether the minister has signed it or not, but he could have signed it. But the work is already done, from my recollection, so that we would be compliant with PAJA, and so it would be possible for us to do that. I just don't recall the specifics of the requirements of that thing.
I'll find it.
Okay. I'll also check it as well, yeah.
Okay.
Honorable members, we are now at the point of dealing with the minute. Unfortunately, the minutes have affected already. So there's no way you can leave.
Because you think the minutes are an internal matter. The matters there in the minutes that affect you. I know you were collecting your things, but you have to be here. We look at the set of the minutes of the 20th of February. February.
Can I see the minutes?
The minutes were circulated into members' computers and pigeonholes.
I don't know mine.
Honourable members, as usual, we look to people who have read the minutes. We do not want somebody who just read them now, who has not applied his mind. Those that have received it, received them and read them. And they can then raise issues. Honourable members, anybody has read the minutes? Yes, because you have food over the minutes. I've got to figure it out. I've got to figure it out. I've got to figure it out. I've got to figure it out.
Mwana kato esuno itlega uwe mene. No, wait a minute.
Okay. Mama ngonye mame? Isha zako zise wrong or nanamla yoga is it right?
I know.
Okay. Isan.
Chair, seconding the proposal, except to say, maybe if we can just correct 3.3.3. Wait, the commission was very interested to know, not to see.
Interested to see, interested to know, not to see. Ah, the man's going to go. No other matter. Go down.
I'll just point out on 3.2.3, the figure there of the amount, 33.5 billion, it's not clear whether it's rand, cash, head, or what.
Oh, these are not
American dollars. These are rand.
What number is it?
3.2.3. The reason why I said DM, these minutes affect you directly. Is also an outcome of yesterday's meeting. 3.3.3 relates to your particular department's total over the past 2 years of 1 billion rand. Yesterday, Ms. Singh, you will recall the amount that you have not added there, which distort your figure. I should say it. Yeah, we looked in your annual report now to confirm what the scope was saying. Yes, indeed, they are right. And somebody went there, you just like said, you didn't have a chance to engage with them. You can engage with us. Page 71, item, so much money there has been omitted, and it would have changed the figure. It won't.
No, we will engage with you, Chairperson. I explained yesterday that there's a difference between the accounting reporting framework. The accounting reporting framework requires that table, you only show the amount of contractors, consultants, and accountants. But the computer services, you show it on a different paragraph, and that is there as well on the annual report. It's not included on the table because the accounting requirement says you don't put it on the table, you put it elsewhere. But it's still in the annual report. It's written computer services. It shows the sector cost.
Yeah, but you're not engaged in half because
okay.
You're a mammal. I'm not arguing the presentation, because the presentation here in about practice of around. AM's responsibility is to check whether SCOPA was right yesterday when they said on page 162 that item on page 71 is not a debt. That's what they said. And I'm asking you whether they were right or wrong.
It's not under like SCOPA. They were right, it was not added, but there was a reason why it's not added. It's not an omission that it is not there. I'm scared, Chaplain, to just say it's not added, so we misrepresented the committee. How it came out, it was like our annual report is misrepresenting. And I'm saying it's not, because the annual report is drafted in terms of the accounting framework, which defines how you disclose certain matters. The fact that computer services and the CETA cost are not on the table is not a misrepresentation. They are not there. They should not be on the 162. Yes, in terms of the reporting framework. And even the Auditor General's report, they outline that in their introductory remark to say that the contractor consultant does not include CETA cost, but for this purpose of the exercise, we have included it. So it should have been written in context also with the Auditor General's report. So I just wanted to make that clear. To say yes, it's not on table voting, and it's not an omission. It's in line with the reporting framework of finances. It's on a different paragraph. It's shown.
I'm not complaining about where it is. I'm just asking whether it should not have been added. That amount of money should not have been added. Will at least the consultants that you paid, because they would have changed the amount. This is what they were arguing yesterday. They were not arguing about your reporting comment. They were talking about those consultants on page 162 did not include these consultants. Both of them are consultants. The wrong or missing, the fully proper land of, because I need now.
Let's drop it, because I'm saying, I hear you, they are asking that question. If I had added it, my financial statement would not have represented fairly well, because it's not regarded as consultants and contractors in terms of the definition. In simple understanding of what a consultant is, computer services by CETA is a consultant, but it's another entity of government. So they don't qualify to be a consultant as such, because it's another entity of government. It's like using GCIS. It's not your consultants. So we disclose it differently.
Well, the item is being part of it. The second item there.
There is
something called external computer service provider outside CETA. These computers from CETA.
We still use the CETA legislation. Remember, with the CETA legislation, CETA is the one who goes out on tender to procure IT-related services. So they go out and appoint service providers, but we go through CETA to appoint those service providers. Like examples of the HR Computech we were talking about yesterday, those people are appointed by CETA. But when we disclose it on the financial statement, we show that these are transversal system, maintenance of your bus system, your personal system, which is done by CETA themselves and their officials. They don't use external people to maintain that. We show that separately. And we then show those services that CETA goes out to tender, get service provider, put them on the database and say, department, you can, when you want IT service, you can only use this service provider. So that's the difference.
So you don't regard them as consultants?
Yes, we don't regard them as consultants in that category, but in the management, the principles is the same. They are consultants and contractors, because they are providing certain service that normally the department would have not kept internally.
So when we say you have used X number of consultants, we must exclude them. We must not add them.
Yes.
And yet they are consultants. Yeah. Wait a minute. not about getting echo. We are so glad this minister is here. Other people say I was not there. And this minister acknowledges institutional responsibility. So don't change the approach of the minister and say I was not there.
Reflection of people who were in the meeting. I can't say, yeah, you're right. I'm out of order, friend. You're asking me, I wouldn't need to talk about that. That's what I refuse to give up the minister. If this is what it means. I think I have a better plan a little. But are my issues in what is it? I'm not sure. I have heard, absolutely. I can't say a second, yeah.
So, Honorable Tebekuru has moved to the for the adoption of the minutes. And it is better, Ms. Sonu, that there are no issues between us. And we put them aside and we move forward. So that by the time we get to the 27th, we are not coming into that meeting with preconceived ideas. We just move forward together. So there is a whole lot of Mr. Kawa. That's how we work here in this committee. That's why many people like to come here. We're now on the 27th of February, minutes. This was the issue about the lead audit and the bursary scheme. JJ, you were there. Did you not see the minutes?
Yes, I did.
You would think that is a fair reflection. Ms. Gwenyamabe, you were there.
Chair, I'm seconding JJ, but it's to correct 3.4.5. If you can delete that and invested. Not vested, invested. We delete one visit.
Let's read the whole sentence. 3.4.5, isn't it? Read, man, for us.
To report the completeness of the state land register, detailing all the components of the project from auditing, survey, registration, and vesting. The department should present statistics on those properties under verification, survey, but not registered. Those surveyed and registered and those not vested and vested.
What is the problem? I thought you were going to say that the sentence is not complete, but the sentence is anchored on 2.4 above. So when you read, you don't start the sentence to report as if it's the beginning of the sentence. It starts on page 3. There at 3.4, then these are the tasks. And in the right? Yes. Ma'am, there were pieces of land which were not vested, and those that were vested. There were those that were not surveyed, and there were those that were surveyed. And therefore, they would be surveyed and vested. And surveyed, not vested. So, if you call the land,
it is not going to be correct if the sentence will read, if that is the case, that those not vested be vested.
Okay. Look, I can say it again. Let's make it easy for you. Read from 3.4 on top. Because I do understand.
Okay. With regard to the report on race classification, the committee recognized the challenge but requested that the department would present a...
3.4 or top?
That is what I'm reading. Which top? 3.4 on top.
Funda, is this? Because we want a complete sentence.
Are you saying I must read 3.4.3? it has to be followed up with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform Land Audit.
No. Land audit you start. Land audit must do this and do this. Now would you get to see what you're missing? The completion of the sentence would have been better if it was reading what?
And those not vested.
Okay, let's read it. To land audit, right?
Okay.
Must report on the completeness of state land register, detailing all components of the process from auditing, survey, registration, and vesting. The department should present statistics on these properties under the decision. Survey, but not the, this is one piece, survey, but not registered. Survey and registered, and those not vested and vested. Which is a category of pieces of land that are not vested, and there's another category of vested.
But didn't it? Okay. Sure, I think. While I was reading the sentence, because according to my understanding, the department indicated that vesting is not their only, is not the departmental responsibilities, but all the departments which own the rural development, that is not the, I asked that question, if you remember well, that who is responsible for vesting. They've said all the departments are responsible.
The function of vesting, the action, is the rural development and land reform responsibility. But it is not the only department that owns the pieces. So that what they do, they vest to agriculture, vest public works and so on. Not all the pieces of land will be vested with them. Another unless they understand wrong, because our telling department is the appeal body to do.
Yeah, after survey, what we have done, because it's part of the qualification issue, after survey, generally survey the properties, they then hand over to a land reform unit to do the actual vesting. Before, we used not to keep a register for that, but now we keep a register of all those land that has been surveyed, which is either between land reform, your land reform unit and survey general for vesting, and those that we have issued vetting certificates to provinces, but the provinces maybe have not done, they have not gone to the lease office to do the actual vesting.
Yeah.
So that's what is requested here, and I think we'll be able to provide. We issue a vesting certificate for them to go to the deed office to endorse it. So there are different steps. Yes. Yeah, so we vest by issuing the certificate to say land now belongs to you. Then the provinces must go to the deed office and endorse it. The challenge that we find is they then don't go to the deed office to endorse it. And, but we would have vested ourselves. Yeah.
I move for the adoption of the minister.
Your name is here.
No.
So, one. If I want documents. But she'll know then.